We have some wild shenanigans and some graceful notes coming at you, right?
We'll see, Terry.
Uncle John?
I'm here on the Holy Bozo Group. I just don't know for sure what's going to happen.
And it's really up to you guys. And thank you, Matt.
Glad to be here.
I think you've come quite a distance. And I think, John, this is around 3 million miles, or are we getting up to 4?
Of my overall traveling?
Right.
Yeah. Most likely getting to 4, yeah.
Okay.
That's 3 million miles of flying.
Yeah.
A million driving.
Oh, gosh.
When the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band started in 1966, we didn't get on the road until we had our first radio record in 67, February 7. And I was the only one, I was 21, I was the oldest, the only one old enough to rent a car. So I became road manager, too. And it was quite a enduring. I did that for 10 years till I found a word in the dictionary that said delegate. And delegated it to another person. And, yeah, so here we are in Carbondale.
And what brings you in? What do we have going on?
Well, I got
today?
Matt Cartsonis here with me. And
that's
me.
And
he spent a lot of time on stage with me over the last 25 years. When I get away from Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, it's with him.
Hi.
And that happened to be last year. We did an album together. I put together an album in Brooklyn that was recorded around one microphone, one binaural microphone, where you gathered everybody around, and that included David Bromberg, John Carter Cash, Steve Martin, Martha Redbone, John Cowan, the great singer from Newgrass Revival. He's now out with the Doobie Brothers. Jay Unger, the great fiddle player.
Molly Mason.
Molly Mason, his wife, sang backgrounds.
Marilyn McEwen.
My wife even. You want to say something, Terry? Go ahead.
Well, you had an elder gentleman with you on this, too.
David Bromberg or David Amram?
No, the
David Amram.
Guy.
He's 80
David
something.
Amram is 86 years old.
Yeah.
His music was conducted by Leonard Bernstein at Carnegie Hall. And back in the 60s, he was a composer in residence. He did the score for The Manchurian Candidate. David and I, he calls me Pops. And he's played with me probably, I don't know, 50 times over the years. And this was my dream list of people I've wanted to record with. In all this travels with Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, I'd end up meeting people and sitting in with them or playing with them, but not recording with them. And so they came together. And we did most of the songs in one take because of the way it was set up. And let's give people a taste of that.
Well, you left out that that extra banjo player.
Yeah, well, Steve Martin plays on one of the cuts, too. It's that was a nice thing to call him. The first time he was ever called just as a musician.
Yeah. And didn't you help get him started in banjo?
Steve says that I introduced him to the banjo and taught him how to play, but he took off on his own pretty quick.
And then She Dark the Sun, did you want to say anything about that?
That song is one of the reasons I wanted to make an album. There's a bunch of tunes I wanted to record that, you know, you just can't do it within a band situation, say, I've got 15 songs I want to put on the next album. And She Dark the Sun is one that I've only heard two people that could really sing it. One was Jimmy Ibbotson, and one is John Cowan. And I told Cowan I wanted him to sing this Bernie Ledden song that Bernie and Gene Clark wrote before the Eagles came together. And I think this is a classic hippie country rock song of the early 70s, late 60s, that it's only been done right once, I think. Prior to this, that was Linda Ronstadt's version.
And a name that means a lot to me as a listener, Gene Clark, an overlooked songwriter, and
yes,
some great work he did. In fact, didn't he play with the Dillards? And they were one of
Dillard, Clark, and Hillman.
Yeah.
And he played with Doug Dillard.
Okay. And we'll talk about the Dillards later, but right now, we've got this queued up, and should we let it roll?
It was so exciting to have 14 people around this one microphone and watching him sing this song in the key of G.
Oh, boy.
And with the length of her mind, she darked the sun. It was not so long ago, maybe just a year or so, when I was lonely and when looking for someone. Way down south in New Orleans, just a looking for for a dream. That's when I found her, and that's where it all begun. She was there on that night, sad for you. I know I'm right. I'll be with you until my race is run. She walked into my life with her cold, evil eyes, and with the length of her mind, she darted the sun.
That from Roots Music, Made in Brooklyn.
Yep.
And John, anything more you want to say about this? Because we're going to also cover tonight, because that's...
Well, tonight's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, tonight I've got the show. I've been doing a lot of multimedia shows using film behind us while we're on stage, talking about both the early Dirt Band and how it led to the fifth album, Uncle Charlie and His Dog Teddy, that finally had a hit record. Mr. Bojangles, Some of Shelley's Blues, and House at Pooh Corner were on that album. And that leads into the fact that the Dirt Band was the first American group to go to Russia. And as that footage plays behind us, we're on stage playing the music that accompanies that and talking about what's on the screen. And Jan Garrett went to the Soviet Union with the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, the first American group to go there. And we wanted to take her because we didn't want to just represent our viewpoint of American music and needed to take a female singer. And that was really cool. She did a killer job. And she's coming by tonight. And Bobby Mason is going to be the opening act and a participant later on in the show. And Bobby, I met him in 1972. I was watching him in an opera ski thing. And he ended up being probably one of the only guys I've ever paid to see sing. He's one of my favorite singers and people.
And at the Wheeler tonight, 7:30?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
And the tickets are going pretty good. So if it sounds interesting and you might want to go, well, give them a call now. Because, I think they're almost They're not sold out yet, but it's getting close.
And then...
And there's a special guest, Jimmy Ibbotson, is coming by to see the show. Jimmy and I are, you know, he... That poor guy. He had to sit... When we were rehearsing for the Uncle Charlie album, we did 10 to 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. And Jimmy and I would drive down from Hollywood, and I'd be in the back seat of his Dodge Dart, learning how to play the fiddle, like 1 foot from his head. That's what I say that poor guy for. Anybody that could, and he put up with it. He was very encouraging. And Jimmy Ibbotson is one of the most important people in my musical life.
And that started 60s, early 70s.
Jimmy was Les Thompson, an original Dirt Band member. He played for the first 8 years. He'll be there tonight. John Cable, who also played with us in the 70s when we went to Russia, will be there tonight. And Les and I started the band in the 60s, along with the Jeff Hanna and Jimmy Fadden. But in 68, we broke up after Paint Your Wagon. 69, we went and found Jimmy Ibbotson. He could play the drums and sing and play guitar and everything. That's kind of when the Dirt Band started. He brought his energy, songwriting, playing abilities, and a certain side of zany that when you could capture it was something nobody else had. And
the idea for the circle, and then the
circle, what the, do you mean?
Will the circle be unbroken? And all those guys and gals maybe that you reached out to.
Well, what happened there is we made this Uncle Charlie and his dog Teddy album, and it was getting a lot of airplay. And the sons of Earl Scruggs, Jimmy Martin, different people, and Maybell Carter's relatives, they heard the album and they played it for their parents. And in 1971, I went to Tulagi's in Boulder to ask Earl Scruggs if he'd record with the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. And he was familiar of us because he said, "That Randy Lynn rag, that's always the way I wanted to play that song." One of his songs I put on the album. I couldn't have ever had a better compliment. Actually, he said, "That's the way I intended to play that." I said, "That's too kind, Earl." But he said yes, and a week later, Doc Watson was at the same club, and I told him, "Earl's in. Would you join us?" And he said yes. Then my brother called. He was managing us and living in Aspen at the time. Yeah. Most of the band was living in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And he said, "I'm going to get Merle Travis." And Merle Travis, you familiar with him? Merle Travis invented a style of guitar playing that, it's kind of like, crank it up. It's, he'd be able to play the thumb part, the bass, and a little melody. And here's a song he wanted to record on the album. I'll see if I can do a version of it, Cannonball Rag. And it goes like this.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have John McEwen and Matt.
Matt Carsonis.
Carsonis.
Thank you for being with us here today. Big
Glad
show.
Glad to be here, Terry.
Thank you. Big show tonight. And it's fantastic to have you guys come into our community station. And I wonder if you would say a little bit about radio, because you've talked about radio on the road, and maybe what radio you listened to when you were young, and then you have a radio like phenomenon going on, don't
phenomenon?
You?
Phenomenon?
On Sirius, isn't that?
Well, I've had a radio show for 8 years on Sirius XM called Acoustic Traveler. It's in its eighth year now, and it's an hour-long show. They play it 7 times a month when I turn one in, and I use music from all the people I've met over the years and have relationships with, and or even not, because sometimes you sit in with somebody and you don't really know them. You know, you don't see them again. Like Tom Petty, for instance. I love to, we were recording, The Circle Be Unbroken Volume 3, doing Willie Nelson in Hollywood, and that's the one I called Dave Jackson to play the bass on.
I was there.
Oh, that's right, you were. And we're getting ready to record Goodnight Irene, and I saw that Tom Petty was recording down the hall. I don't know Tom Petty, but I waited for his mix to stop, and I went in, "Hi, Mr. Petty, I'm curious. I'm with the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band and wondered if you'd ever wanted to sing with Willie Nelson." And it really shocked him. He went, "Well, yeah, but how do I..." "Well, come down the hall. We need you to sing a verse of Goodnight Irene and find a harmony part." And 5 minutes later, we're recording with Tom Petty. I haven't seen him since, nor before. But I'll play that cut on my Sirius show and tell that story.
And there are so many people that you have played with over this 50-some years.
Yeah.
And a couple that I just made notes that I'm curious about.
Yeah.
Bill Wyman. Say anything about that event?
Yeah. When we were rehearsing the early Dirt Band back in the 66, where our first important job was opening for Merle Travis at the Ash Grove, which is now the Improv. But we were playing music like Washington at Valley Forge, freezing cold and up spoke George, vododio, vododio do. Crazy words, crazy tune, all the George could croon and swoon was vododio, vododio do. Vododio. Jug band music. You know, we had no hope of getting a record deal. Billboard magazine saw us and did a review that said, "Entertaining, but doubtful if they'll ever be captured on record." Now, during that rehearsal, in walked a guy asking if we wanted to be on Liberty Records. And we said, "Well, we just signed a deal with Liberty Records. Well, mind if I listen?" That was Leon Russell. Leon Russell and I started a friendship then that ended up crossing paths many times. I probably sat in with him 20 times at least. I recorded at his house in Tulsa and Nashville. And one time in the middle of the 70s, I get this call, and the band's hanging out in the hotel room. I think Ibby was there. And Jeff answers and goes, "Yeah, he's here. Sure, I'll put him on." He looks at me and says, "Leon Russell's on the phone." I said, "Oh, good. I haven't talked to him in a year." "Oh, hi, Leon. How you doing?" And it shocked the other guys in the band, you know. And I said, "Well, sure, Jeff. And I'm talking to Leon, and he says, "Would you like to talk to..." And I had to ask Jeff. I said, "Who's Bill Wyman?" He said, "Well, he plays bass in the Stones." "Why?" "Okay, just wondered." "Yeah, Leon, put him on." "Oh, hi, Mr. Wyman. Nice to meet you." He wanted me to record on his Monkey Grip album, which was the first Bill Wyman solo album. And 2 days later, I'm out there in Hollywood playing dobro, mandolin, and banjo for Rolling Stone. It was a fun day. And Leon, when I showed up there, Leon was such a humble guy. "Oh, John, I'm glad you're here. I've already played my 3 licks, and we need some more. I don't do good hanging out with these stars." And he was playing that night at the Forum, headlining a sold-out show. You know, he was, and saying he didn't hang well with the stars.
And then there was purportedly an earthquake in Southern California.
Purportedly? It shook the crap out of the place, yeah.
And then did that have any effect on you coming to this area? Is that
one month later, maybe less than a month, I'd packed up everything in a Ryder truck, moved to Colorado with my wife and our first kid that was about 9 months old. I gave her $500 in Denver. I said, "Turn in the truck, find a house, buy a car, I'll be back in 10 days. But that was the way it was. The Dirt Band had to get to New York to do the Tonight Show. I came back 10 days later, and she'd bought a house, and I mean, not bought a house, rented a house, and bought a $300 car and got all the stuff moved in. That was a mess.
And also just a couple others, and then I want to come back to what we'll hear tonight and maybe have a couple of tunes that you guys have, and we'll also play a couple from the CD made in Made in Brooklyn. I want to let you know, folks, we have John McCune and Matt
Cartsonis
here in the studio. They'll be tonight at the Wheeler Opera House, Aspen Show Ticks. You can find out about tickets there. And we're going to hear a little bit more.
There's live. A lot of nitty-gritty Dirt Band music, bluegrass from the Will the Circle Be in Broken album. Special guests Jan Garrett, Bobby Mason, and Jimmy Ibbotson coming by. One of the original members of the Dirt Band, Les Thompson. He was the guy that wore the Mountie suit and played bass. He spent all those years in Aspen with us up here. Can we play another cut off the album when we get ready for a song?
Sure enough. And
why don't you play I Rose Up? Matt sings the second verses on this. I Rose Up is the words from William Blake, a poet from Britain. He wrote these words in 1810. And Martha Redbone and I put the music to it and sang it with this group of people all gathered around this one microphone to pretend that William Blake might have grown up in Virginia. And this is I Rose Up from the Made in Brooklyn album.
I rose up at the dawn of day. Get thee away, get thee away. Praise thou for riches, away, away. This is the throne of Mammon Cray. Said I, this sure is very odd. I took it to be the throne of God. For everything besides I have, it is only for riches that I can pray. I have mental joy and mental health and mental friends.
That was so much fun. Yeah.
Martha Redbone.
Yes, sir. No relation to the other Redbone. Martha's got her own independent career as an R&B singer in the folk music world. In fact, we did a whole William Blake album and wanted to put this together with these people. And anyway, yeah.
And going back, that process of the sessions for Will the Circle Be Unbroken and gathering everybody together, three records you made.
Well, I asked Earl Scruggs that week of June if he'd record with us. He said yes. 8 weeks later, thanks to Earl and Louise Scruggs, we'd gotten Maybelle Carter lined up, Jimmy Martin, which was interesting because Jeff Hanna said, "Who's Jimmy Martin?" I said, "You'll find out. He's the greatest bluegrass singer ever, and he'll tell you that." Jimmy Martin had a gravestone he made about 8 years before he died, a big, tall monument. Here lies the king of bluegrass. Want to come out and see my gravestone? You know, he was a weird guy, a fun guy, and he was right. Of course, he thought everybody had a right to his opinion. But Jimmy Martin knew what it was right. And we got together in the studio. We rehearsed the week before. And for 6 days, we recorded 34 songs. And the album, the 34-track album was done. And it wasn't even full days because most of it was first take. We were recording directly to 2-track with a bunch of microphones. And we knew that Maybelle Carter was going to have one really good take. And she knew her song. It was up to us to know it. And Ibbotson and all the guys got together and were ready. And we were scared, you know. I was the oldest. I was 24. I think Les was 20 when we did this album. But the first day, it kind of got okay because we heard from so many of these people that they were fans of each other. "Oh, Roy, I've always wanted to record with you. I don't know what's taking so long. I'm glad we're here together, Maybelle." You know, everybody knew each other and liked each other. And we were just the periphery. And it worked out.
But you initiated it.
I did by asking Earl and Doc and my brother putting Merle in it. But it was only possible because I had Jimmy and Jeff picking the right songs to get on the radio and singing them like the Everly Brothers. They were magic together. And the recordings of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band gave that door a possibility to open. If I would have just been that kid from Orange County with a banjo, it wouldn't have happened.
And did you have a sense during the sessions and after you heard playback of the magnitude of what you were involved in?
To me, I did. And to my brother Bill, who was producing, yeah, we felt like this was important to us. It was very important to me to be playing on a recording with Jimmy Martin. I'd spent a couple of years learning every song he'd recorded, you know, and now I'm playing with him. I never thought I'd even meet the guy. But as far as its overall importance, we felt like this sounds really good. Mix Magazine did a 7-page story on how good this album sounded because it was recorded direct to the master. But the overall importance, you just never know. We didn't know. We just thought it was really important. Then Rolling Stone said, possibly the most important record to come out of Nashville. Thank you, Chet Flippo. And it just went on. It's a multi-platinum album. It's in the Library of Congress. Right now, if you look up on Amazon in the bluegrass chart, it's probably number 14. It's like the dark side of the moon of bluegrass. And it was a record of an event in the sense that a record used to be that. When the Carter family recorded for Peer in Bristol in 1927, that was a capturing of an event of them being in front of one microphone. And that's what this was kind of like for this group. Three different generations.
And quite a few, what do we call them? String wizards. And
yes.
Acoustic travelers from generations. And since you've, it seems like, kind of been with the group and out on your own, and then this collaboration that includes multimedia.
Tonight's show at the Wheeler, yes.
And your some of your old friends from this area, you have a strong connection here. And didn't your brother live here?
My brother lived here. I made a couple of albums here. The Dirt Band recorded here. Rippling Waters was mixed, and a lot of Dirt Band music was recorded up here. In the 70s. Mm-hmm. And let's see, his studio, he did a John Denver special. A couple of film scores were recorded up there and mixed. And really good times. back when they used to say, let's do a benefit to keep the traffic light from being put in, or save the season pass for the local, things that were really important.
And in that light, I know there might be some more tunes to...
Well, Matt spent the last 6 years of Warren Zevon's life being his backup guy, or co-partner on stage, and Warren wrote a song that...
He wrote this for us to play together.
Yeah, he wanted to be a folk singer, and we're going to do it the folky way.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize, I didn't either, and Warren told me his biggest hero was Ian Tyson, and he considered himself a folky, and we started playing as a duo just before he reached his expiration date, and he wrote this for us to play together. It's got elements of the folk song Jesse James, which appears a lot through Warren's work, you know, through Frank and Jesse James, the song he did, and in a lot of his thematic motifs. But this is our song, and we did it, and Steve Martin played banjo on it on the record, but only one John McEwen.
It's really interesting, because Steve and I went to high school together, started playing the banjo at the same time, worked in the Disneyland Magic Shop, and we've been playing together. You know, my brother managed him and produced his movies. Aspen Recording Society was because of Aspen. Aspen Film Society, the jerk, says Aspen Film Society. Anyway, so Steve is playing the banjo, and I hire him to play on this song. And now here I am. I'm going to have to play his banjo part. That is so cool. You know, it's like, what a circle thing, man. Wow, cool. And this is the way this song sounded before we recorded it on the Made in Brooklyn album.
Y'all all ready?
Take it away.
Well, sometimes I feel like my shadow's casting me, and some days the sun don't shine. Sometimes I wonder what tomorrow's gonna bring when I think about my dirty life and time. One day I came to a fork in the road. I just couldn't go where I was told. Now they'll hunt me down and hang me for my crimes if I tell them about my dirty life and time. I had someone till she went out for a stroll. Should've run after her. It's hard to find a girl with a heart of gold when you're living in a four-letter world. Oh, if she won't love me, then her sister will. She's from Say One Thing and Mean Anothersville. And she can't seem to make up her mind when I tell her about my dirty life and times. Okay. Feel like my shadow's casting me. And some days the sun don't shine. And sometimes I wonder how I'm still running free all up and down the line. Yeah, I get a little lonely, don't you know what I mean? And I'm looking for a woman with a low self-esteem who lay me out and ease my worried mind. Why I'm winding down my dirty life and time. Who laid me out and eased my worried mind? While I'm winding down my dirty life and time.
Live here at KDNK, John McEwen and Matt Cartsonis. And tonight at 7:30, do I have
7:30 doors, 8 o'clock show.
And everybody come early because we want to fill up the building with all this great energy for these guys.
They got a few hundred tickets sold, a little over that, but that means there's about, you got to, if 80 people listening all bought tickets, it'll be sold out.
And we also have a couple of tickets to give away here.
That's a good idea.
And we're going to make that after this mic break. The first caller to 963-0139. And there's also...
The question is, who wrote Mr. Bojangles?
Fantastic. And
you have to answer that to get the ticket, okay?
Jerry Jeff Walker.
Hey, we just can't. Well, you can't win tickets.
Okay,
new question.
I'm gonna be.
Who is Jerry Jeff Walker's backup guy when he wrote Mr. Bojangles?
Sorry, I was out of turn there, but we're just talking freely among string wizards and acoustic travelers.
Who wrote
travelers.
House at Pooh Corner? That was one of the Dirt Band's hits that Jimmy Ibbotson sang.
Okay,
so
that'll be the question. Okay. And then to close it out here,
yes, sir.
We're gonna play one more. And are you okay with acoustic
Traveler?
Traveler, yeah.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite tunes off of this album. I don't know. I like them all. It's very weird about this album. We're getting calls, better. We'll take some calls during the playing of this song. This is a song that I play acoustic instruments and I travel around the world and. I wanted to play this song with all these great players. David Amram's on flute. Mandola is by the guy to my right, Matt Cartsonis. And
Gessling.
Jay Younger. Andy Gessling from the band Railroad Earth is one of the main players on this album. And here we go, Acoustic Traveler.